VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we're so glad you've joined us today here on Crosstalk. It's going to be a news roundup day here today, and my apologies to the tree. Lots of paper here before us today as Sandy's been busy working away to get a number of stories for us. We've got Karen over on the phones here and Justin in the control room. Bob's listening in here today, and just thank our team here for making this program possible, as well as all the stations that are keeping you informed by airing Crosstalk. By the way, yesterday with Gary Ka, I had just a tremendous interview, so much information. I wish we had had another hour with him yesterday to even get out more. But nonetheless, we had a number of people connect with us to obtain CD recordings of that. We want you to know it's available. You can send links right from our website. There's no cost for that at crosstalkamerica.com. Or if you'd like the hard copy, you can call our switchboard here. We make them available for a donation of $6 to cover our duplication and material cost and the postage expense to you. And those are available by calling 800-729-9829. If you missed yesterday's program, I mean, we tied so many loose ends together on many issues and talked about the Great Reset. Make sure you listen to that program, even if you can, over the weekend online, crosstalkamerica.com. Well, this is the first time ever in the history of the United States, a vote that took place in the House of Representatives just about an hour or so before Crosstalk today. The House of Representatives voted 228-164 to pass the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. The whole effort here is to decriminalize marijuana. It would also remove cannabis from the Controlled Substances Act, and giving states more authority over the regulation, and also it would expunge previous marijuana convictions and order resentencing for those that are imprisoned with pot convictions. This is the first time in the history of Congress, the House or the Senate, first time it's passed. Republican lawmakers condemned House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for bringing forth the legislation instead of coronavirus relief. I guess they're also dealing with a bill on banning people from having tigers. My. Let's see. We're going to move on here to an article that came up from WND.com. You've heard of Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney. He said a no-holds-barred interview that he doesn't believe the courts are likely to come through for President Trump. And despite massive amounts of evidence of widespread irregularities, many judges appear either unsuitable or rather unable or unwilling to sort through the allegations. And so he's putting the burden on President Trump to use emergency powers at his disposal and put down what he described as a coup d'etat in progress. I'd like you to refer you back to the program we did earlier this week, Tuesday, with Brandon House on that very issue. We also have Michael Flynn that's promoting a petition now calling on President Trump to temporarily suspend the U.S. Constitution. My. Declare martial law and order the military to oversee a national revote for the 2020 presidential election. That's getting serious, folks, with statements like that coming forth from retired generals. WND.com pointing out that in a brand new analysis published in American Thinker, a prominent witness has reportedly joined the team of attorney Sidney Powell and has stated under the oath that there was a massive computer fraud in the 2020 election, all of it intended to secure a victory for Joe Biden. The report authored by Andrea Widberg identifies the expert as Dr. Navid Kershavez Nia, she calls one of the weightiest names in the world when it comes to sniffing out cybersecurity problems. In doing cybersecurity technical counterintelligence work for the CIA, NSA, and FBI, it spent decades connecting top secret dots. He has a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD in a variety of electrical and computer engineering. But despite not having access to the voting machines, he examined the election data and results of the ballot. And listen to these conclusions that he came up with. He's dubbed the smartest man in the room, joining Sidney Powell now in the investigations and filing legal challenges, but he came with these conclusions that the counts in the disputed states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, show electronic manipulation. The simultaneous decision in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia to pretend to halt counting votes was unprecedented and demonstrated a coordinated effort to collude toward desired results. Number three, 1-2% of votes were forged in Biden's favor. Number four, optical scanners were set to accept unverified, unvalidated ballots. Number five, the scanners failed to keep records for audits, an outcome that must have been deliberately programmed. Six, the stolen cryptographic key, which applied to all voting machines, was used to alter vote counts. Seven, the favorable votes pouring in after hours for Biden could not be counted for by a Democrat preference for mailed-in ballots. They demonstrated manipulation. For example, in Pennsylvania, it was physically impossible to feed 400,000 ballots into the machines within 2 to 3 hours. Dominion used Chinese parts, and there is reason to believe that China, Venezuela, Cuba interfered in the election. And then there was the hammer and scorecard cyber attack that altered votes in the battleground states, then forwarded the results to servers in Frankfurt, Germany to avoid detection. And the servers failed, the systems failed to produce any audible results. They could not be audited. The doctor concluded with a high confidence that the election 2020 data were altered in all battleground states, resulting in hundreds of thousands of votes that were cast for President Trump to be transferred to Vice President Biden. Going on to the Daily Wire, a federal judge has barred Georgia officials from clearing or tampering with results on voting machines in three counties as a result of a lawsuit filed by Sidney Powell. We're talking about Cherokee, Cobb, and Gwinnett counties. From Newsmax.com, Sidney Powell's attempt to force Georgia officials to allow a forensic examination of voting machines that she claims are central to a vast election fraud conspiracy will get an expedited review from the federal appeals court in Atlanta. Pamela Geller, Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp, calls for a signature audit after CCTV footage was leaked of hidden ballots being secretly counted. This is astounding. What happened in the state of Georgia is which they have the allegations and video footage. We have President Trump's legal team involved in this as well. Epoch Times reporting that on December 3rd, they presented surveillance footage at a Georgia state legislature that appears to show ballot counting workers telling poll observers late at night on Election Day, leave before continuing to count, pulling out what appears to be boxes filled with ballots, told people to go home, we're done, done for the evening. Poll watchers go home, GOP poll watchers go home. And after everybody left, guess what? The video footage looks like suitcases that were opened up and the ballots started being counted once again. Something's not right there, folks. Something is not right. And now we have the Georgia Republican governor calling for a signature audit after this footage was leaked of hidden ballots being secretly counted. Western Journal reporting an organization founded by failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, as well as several other groups, being investigated by Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger for allegedly looking to aggressively register ineligible out-of-state or deceased voters in the weeks leading up to the state's January 5th Senate runoff elections. Raffensperger's office said Wednesday that it was investigating American Votes, Vote Forward, and the New Georgia Project, founded by Abrams and previously chaired by Democratic Senate candidate Raphael Warnock, Fox News reported. Epoch Times telling us that a witness brought forward by the Trump campaign in its election contest in Nevada alleged that the memory disk used to store vote totals from election machines during the early vote period had the vote tallies inexplicably changed overnight. According to Jesse Binnell, who presented the evidence on behalf of the Trump campaign, what they would do is that they would log these disks in and out, good practice, and the disk had a serial number on them, and numerous times that disk would be logged out with one vote total on it and logged back in the next morning during the early vote period with a totally different number on it. Sometimes more, sometimes less, he said. Washington Examiner reporting that the Trump campaign unveiled information at his plans to present a Nevada state court that suggests there were thousands of fraudulent votes cast, possibly enough to overturn Joe Biden's win there by the 33,569 votes. They were allowed to examine some of the ballots, and the 2%, let's see, they plan to present polling that 1% of Nevada voters show to have voted never did, and 2% of those shown to have voted by mail never got a ballot. Let's go to the Epoch Times. Arizona GOP says ballots were altered, removed from Trump's total. This is Arizona Republican Party Chairman Kelly Ward. Filed a lawsuit contesting that the election results and looking for irregularities among the nearly 28,000 ballots in Maricopa County duplicated, that they were duplicated by election officials because voters' earlier ballots were damaged or couldn't be tabulated. Well, Republican officials in Arizona found that 2% of the duplicate ballots the party was allowed to examine were changed to take votes away from President Trump. The inspection came after Judge Randall Warner ruled that he would allow signatures from 100 ballot envelopes and 100 duplicates of reconstructed ballots to be inspected. 2% were found in error, the Washington Examiner reported. Also, I wish I had time to play the audio for this, but an IT worker trained and contracted by Dominion Voting Systems worked at a tabulating center in Detroit November 3rd, claimed Tuesday that she saw election officials illegally rescanning batches of 50 ballots for Joe Biden over and over to create more votes. This is Melissa Carone. She spoke to the Michigan Senate Oversight Committee. The hearing was in Lansing. She worked at the center for 27 hours, beginning the morning of Election Day, batches of ballots being run through the tabulating machines numerous times, being counted 8 to 10 times. Interesting testimony. Need about a quarter hour to share some of the things that she had there. Time is not available for us, but very interesting indeed. CBN, all eyes on Georgia, where the stakes are very high. Two runoff elections January 5th, determining who will have control over the Senate. And so we've got the Secretary of State there looking at what is taking place and make sure that this election is not stolen. Indeed. By the way, let's get on to another topic here. State of California, the Supreme Court of the United States granted cert, vacated the lower court orders involving the emergency petition of Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry with instructions to remand to the district court for further consideration in light of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn versus Cuomo. Liberty Counsel filed the reply brief. And this is so this not only impacts California, but also there are things that are happening in the state of New York right now. But Matt Staver said today's ruling by the Supreme Court provides great relief for churches and places of worship. The handwriting is on the wall. The final days of Governor Gavin Newsom's color-coded executive edict banning worship are numbered and coming to an end. It's past time to end these unconstitutional restrictions on places of worship, he said. So we've got issues in California, but there are also instructions to remand to the district court for further consideration. The New York situation going on as well. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to a news roundup on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly an example of evolution?
No, it certainly is not, Chris. The caterpillar has all the genes necessary for it to alter its shape into a butterfly and then lay eggs which could turn into a caterpillar. This is not evolution. It's simply growth. In fact, this is one of the greatest arguments against evolution. What could cause a perfectly happy caterpillar to attach itself to a tree and dissolve into a mass of jelly and come out with wings and legs and everything that a butterfly has? Natural selection would not do this. All of the genes would have to be present at the beginning and could not have been gained one by one. Chris, I think you recognize this as an evolutionary just-so story. A much better story is the one we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
The News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk on VCY America. A number of stories dealing with COVID-related issues. Let's see here. This one from LifeSiteNews.com. The United Nations announced it has partnered with the World Economic Forum, the leader of the Great Reset, to promote a new campaign to control COVID-19-related discussion on social media. In an interview for the World Economic Forum podcast, UN Communications Director Melissa Fleming highlighted the UN's Pledge to Pause initiative. Now, this is an initiative where the UN calls the first global behavior change campaign on misinformation. It was launched last month in collaboration with multiple NGOs backed by George Soros and big tech companies. They report that Pledge to Pause, part of a larger project called Verified, which recruits participants to spread verified content optimized for social sharing produced by the UN Communications Department. Fleming told the World Economic Forum that Pledge to Pause and Verified have recruited 110,000 information volunteers thus far. She said, "We equip these information volunteers with the kind of knowledge about how misinformation spreads and ask them to serve as kind of digital first responders." The UN Communications Department runs Verified in collaboration with The Purpose, a left-wing activist group that boasts about partnership with Google and the Gates Foundation. In 2012, Purpose started a project called All Out, an LGBT movement that now claims nearly 2 million members. Pledge to Pause, Verified, in the Great Reset followed a wave of anti-Christian persecution and media censorship during the COVID-19 crisis that had been ramped up in the wake of the contested presidential election. Very interesting indeed. LifeSiteNews.com reporting, the U.S. government is going to be issuing wallet-sized COVID-19 proof of vaccination cards. Releasing the image of the Department of Defense website, the description says that they will be sent out as part of vaccination kits from Operation Warp Speed. The kit will also include a card, a needle and syringe, alcohol wipes, and a mask. Dr. Kelly Moore, Associate Director of the Immunization Action Coalition, that is involved in distributing the vaccine, said everyone will be issued a written card that they can put in their wallet. They will tell them that when they what they had and when their dose is due. Moore also stated that people would be widely asked to volunteer their cell number in order to get a text message telling them when and where their next dose is scheduled to be administered. Three former presidents, reports WesternJournal.com, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama have volunteered to receive the COVID-19 vaccine in public and on camera in a bid to boost shaky public confidence in the vaccine safety, which has been undermined by their speedy development and months of politicalization on both sides of the aisle, Forbes reported on Thursday. From Western Journal, the first COVID-19 vaccines might be around the corner, but the side effects won't be a walk in the park, doctors say. Listen to this. This is a quote here from Dr. Sandra Fryhofer of the American Medical Association said during a virtual meeting with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices November 23rd, according to CNBC, "We really need to make patients aware that this is not going to be a walk in the park. They're going to know that they had a vaccine. They are probably not going to feel wonderful, but they've got to come back for that second dose." Both Moderna and Pfizer have reported their vaccines are over 90% effective, but that's if they're given in two staggered doses. A North Carolina woman in her 50s who experienced side effects said she didn't have a fever, but ended up with a severe migraine after the second dose. "If this proves to work, people are going to have to toughen up," she said. "The first dose is no big deal, and then the second dose will definitely put you down for the day for sure. You will need to take a day off after the second dose," end of quote. Very interesting indeed, and I know many are waiting for yet more information to come out on this, but as this doctor is saying, the truth must be told. The American people need to be warned. They need to be told what is coming up here, that it's not going to be a walk in the park. LifeSiteNews.com, study shows a majority of COVID fatalities had do not resuscitate orders in place. Almost 90% of patients who died with COVID-19 had DNR orders in place at the time of admission. Illustrates the severity of their pre-existing conditions. This is Clinics in Dermatology published the study at the end of last month. And this is based on all patients in two hospitals in New Jersey who had or developed COVID-19. Dates were from March 15th to May 15th, but the record showed that 89% of those who died had a DNR, leaving 10.9% without a DNR order at the time of admission. The CDC has shortened up their coronavirus quarantine period. And also, let's see, what do they have now? Previously established 14 days. Officials can saying now they can end after 10 days without a COVID test if a person reports no symptoms, after 7 days with a negative test if there are no symptoms. Joe Biden is saying during an interview yesterday he plans to ask the American public to wear masks for 100 days, stating the day he is inaugurated. Well, that jury is still out on that, isn't it? In order to drive down the number of coronavirus, he said, the first day I'm inaugurated, I'm going to ask the public for 100 days to mask. Just 100, not forever, 100. Joe Biden says he'll also be listening to the advice of Dr. Anthony Fauci, whom he has tapped to be his chief medical advisor and part of the Biden administration COVID team, reports CNSNews.com. He told Jake Tapper that bars and restaurants are going to close, but we're going to provide you the wherewithal to not lose your business. Well, the NFL is in trouble. At least one team, the New Orleans Saints, as they have received a fine. I guess on November 8th, Saints players were celebrating their victory over the Buccaneers, but they didn't have masks on in their main locker room, and so they got a $500,000 fine, ESPN reported. In addition, the team was also stripped of its seventh-round pick for next season's draft. Another story here, Western Journal, grocery stores in New Mexico can now be closed along with every other type of business under a strict state edict that says any business must shut down for 2 weeks if there are repeated instances in which employees test positive for the coronavirus. Shutdowns happening all over, but not Hollywood. Not Hollywood. Frontpagemag.com. Democrat lockdowns exempt Hollywood, destroy small businesses. After ordering Hollywood to restrict filming to the same curfew as other businesses, a few hours later, the order was withdrawn, followed by a final plea to film shoots to voluntarily avoid activities likely to invite a negative community response. Interesting. Here we have a pastor in Maryland cited for not wearing a mask while he's in an empty church office. American Constitutional Rights Union, the ACRU, that's not the ACLU, but the ACRU has learned that the Community United Methodist Church in Pasadena, Maryland, has been issued a citation resulting from the pastor of the church answering the door to the church during office hours momentarily without a mask to unlock the door for a health department official. The church was not holding services at the time. The pastor had been alone in an office until the health department official showed up at the door unannounced. He went to answer the door. He didn't have his mask on. Well, after issuing the citation, the health department official informed the pastor that he would return, and if the church was not in full compliance, that the church would be deemed an unsafe facility and closed until the state of emergency had been terminated. The citation also threatens criminal charges and imprisonment up to 1 year and or a fine up to $5,000. WND.com. We have Americans who travel to gather with multiple generations for traditional Thanksgiving dinners should just assume that you passed along the coronavirus along with the gravy, according to Dr. Deborah Burks, saying, quote, we know people may have made mistakes over the Thanksgiving time period, so if you're young and you're gathered, you need to be tested about 5 to 10 days later, but you need to assume that you're infected and not go near your grandparents and aunts and others without a mask. And said masks are the key to survival. Let's see here. This is the FaithWire.com. Eric Garcetti, the Democratic mayor of Los Angeles, said Wednesday it's time to cancel everything. He banned all forms of travel, even ordered residents to stay in their homes. All travel, including without limitation, travel on foot, bicycle, scooter, motorcycle, automobile, or public transit is prohibited. He's got some exemptions in that. But he also doubled down on his ban of indoor worship services. And then, as CNSNews.com points out, Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuhl voted last week to ban outdoor dining at restaurants because of the coronavirus. And hours later, guess what? She was fined dining outside in an Italian restaurant in Santa Monica. Her actions are seen as the latest example of hypocrisy by public officials. 12 articles of impeachment have been filed against the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, over his COVID shutdown. Prince Harry is even getting into the matter. DailyWire.com. Britain's Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, called the novel coronavirus a sign of Mother Nature's exerting her considerable power over humanity, potentially over our reluctance to address climate change. Well, that's a new one, isn't it? Because we have not addressed climate change, Mother Nature has come out against us with the coronavirus. Harry said that his wish is for humanity to be the raindrop that falls from the sky and relieves the parched ground. Addressing ongoing crimes against nature, he then suggested COVID-19 should be a wake-up call, a form of ecological retribution, according to the New York Post. Prince Harry, by the way, lives in a largely secluded life in a mega mansion near Los Angeles, they report. Okay, have you had lunch yet? Listen to this from the New American. World Economic Forum officials, proponents of the Great Reset, are busily thinking of ways for mankind to reduce greenhouse gases in order to save the planet from the catastrophic global warming that they're forecasting. Among their ideas is conditioning the world's population to begin eating and enjoying what they refer to as alternative food sources. WEF agenda contributor Douglas Broom states that finding new plant-based foods is becoming an increasingly urgent, with the world's population forecast to grow by 2 billion in the next 30 years. While farming animals for meat generates 14.5% of total global greenhouse emissions, weeds capture carbon from the atmosphere and can therefore help to control climate change. Weeds are the future of food and can be nutritious and tasty if we know which ones to pick. According to Brown, just make sure you don't accidentally pick weeds that are poisonous. And it's not just weeds, but other items that are currently considered disgusting that will feed us in the future. Another article on the official WEF website suggests that humans can be conditioned to eat and even enjoy such things as insects and grubs. Oh, and we'll also be drinking recycled water. By the way, that's also known as sewage, New American points out. In Canada, saddening display of totalitarianism in the name of public health. We got police officers tasked with upholding the law of the land are instead being sent to physically block churchgoers from attending a drive-in worship service in rural Manitoba, Canada. A video was posted by the Church of God Restoration of Steinbach shows police blocking cars from entering the church parking lot, instead forcing them to line up on the next street to listen to the senior pastor preach from a loudspeaker. It would appear that a drive-in service was an earnest attempt by the church to respect Manitoba's health order. They're going to drive in and sit in their cars. But even the physically distant service was apparently deemed unacceptable. According to CBC, the province has banned gatherings of more than 5 people, including churches. I've got some more stories I need to share with you, friends, but we're going to take this break. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
This past July marked the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffy, an itinerant circuit riding preacher committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films released a special restored high-definition edition of this powerful film, Sheffy. Through December, VCY is renewing a special offer, making available a combination pack to reach a whole new generation. This pack includes both Blu-ray and DVD and a digital download. Also included, the public showing rights for the church and schools in order to show it publicly. While the normal retail is $19.95, During December, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and each additional combo pack for a donation of just $10 more. You can even obtain 10 combo sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends December 31st.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I can tell you this, my stack of stories is not even quite half done that I brought into the studio today, but we'll give you some time on the phones in just a little while here, so we'll be opening them up in a short time for some brief comments here today on these or other current news issues. Just want to share a few more things from Euro Weekly News. This is this one is a northern Turkish city of Ordu. We've got a 31-year-old nurse losing custody of her 5-year-old son following a legal battle with her ex-husband after a court ruled that her job is a health risk. The court ruled that it's a health risk to her child due to the chances of her contracting COVID as she battles to save people's lives. As a result, they've given primary custody to the father, who works as a police officer. Western Journal reporting Republican senators who have rejected COVID relief packages are brainchild of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, targeted in a protest Tuesday. They had body bags left at their door. As many bags bore signs that said, quote, Trump COVID death. Let's go to Western Journal. Detroit Free Press criticized Tuesday morning after published an opinion piece titled COVID has turned breathing into a deadly event and all of us into potential serial killers. Yeah, that's right. Here's a sentence. He wrote, COVID-19 has turned every man, woman, and child into a potential serial killer. South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem called out CBS News Tuesday for misleading the reporting about her state. CBS reported South Dakota leads the nation in per capita hospitalizations. More misleading reporting from CBS, Noem wrote out on Twitter. She said there are 547 people statewide in the hospital in South Dakota with COVID. That's less than 20% of those hospitalized. Nearly 40% of our beds are empty. Our doctors and nurses are doing an outstanding job taking care of those who need extra care. Fake news continues to abound. So appreciate this story here. The governor of Oklahoma, this is from ChristianNews.net. Governor of Oklahoma has declared yesterday a statewide day of prayer and fasting, calling upon all people to pray for the sick during the COVID pandemic, as well as wisdom for those who are handling it. He said, when we unite in prayer, we're reminded that there is no burden too heavy for God to lift or for this state to bear with his help. This is Governor Kevin Stitt. He wrote in his proclamation. He even pointed to 2 Chronicles 7:14. He also noted that churches and faith communities have an incredible opportunity during this season to provide hope to Oklahomans who are struggling as we close a year that's been mentally, emotionally, and physically draining. Thank the Lord for a governor who is willing to call for a statewide day of prayer and fasting. Did you know that Joe Biden gave a Thanksgiving Day address? And I know some in the media were fawning over this, and I found it very interesting, and many wondered, why is somebody who is not the president giving a Thanksgiving Day address? Well, one of the things that happens in those who like to give an air of their religiosity is to quote from the scripture. And I want you to hear what Mr. Biden had to say in his Thanksgiving address. I'm just going to play 1 minute out of the, it was about a 14-minute or so address. Here it is.
We're going to lead the world on climate and save this planet. We're going to find cures for cancer and Alzheimer's and diabetes. I promise you. We're going to finally root out systemic racism in this country. On this Thanksgiving, in anticipation of all the Thanksgivings to come, let's dream again. Let's commit ourselves to thinking not only of ourselves, but of others as well. For if we care for one another, if we open our arms rather than brandishing our fists, we can, with the help of God, heal. And if we do, and I'm sure we can proclaim the promise with the palmist who wrote these following words. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and with my song I give thanks to him.
You know, when he said the palmist, at first, is he talking about some kind of astrology or fortune telling? And was this a palm reader? But no, he was referring to the psalmist. Interesting indeed. Also, there was an interesting interview on CNN that Mr. Biden was with Kamala Harris and was being interviewed by Jake Tapper and was asked if, what about if there's a disagreement between the two of you on things? Listen to what he had to say.
Yeah.
But all kidding aside, it's a matter of the thing. We are simpatico on our philosophy of government and simpatico on how we want to approach these issues that we're facing. And so I don't have, and when we disagree, it'll be just like, so far it's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. And I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. But, and I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign. We don't have that. We haven't, and we discussed at length mm-hmm. our views on foreign policy, on domestic policy, on intelligence. And the great thing is she has a background in the Senate on intelligence, the Intelligence Committee. She has a background in the Senate on a whole range of things that are going to be pertinent to what we have to do. But it's going to be, I think so much is going to be incoming, Jake.
Yeah.
It's a matter about who takes what when.
You know, that's a very interesting comment. Now, keep in mind, his first words were all kidding aside, and then he gave this. He gave this little speech here in which he says, you know, if we disagree on something, I've developed some disease, and I say I have to resign. Isn't that amazing? I don't hear much of the media asking questions about that at all. Some are questioning the picks that are coming up. Here's Senator Tom Cotton ripping into Joe Biden's pick to head the Department of Homeland Security if he does get inaugurated into the presidency. Why? For selling citizenship to Chinese nationals. He announced, this is Alejandro Mayorkas, who Biden announced that he would pick as his DHS chief on Tuesday. Cotton said that this individual alleged abuse of the EB-5 visa program that allows foreigners who invest significant sums into growing U.S. businesses to apply for green cards disqualified. He said he was found by Barack Obama's inspector general to be guilty of selling green cards to Chinese nationals on behalf of some rich Democratic donors. Statement from Senator Tom Cotton. By the way, the Human Rights Campaign, the activist LGBTQ++ organization, HRC president, has applauded the historic appointments of, and this is directly, this is from HRC, this is not my words, this is theirs. HRC president applauds historic appointments of queer women to White House communications team. The historic senior communications team, who are all women, include Karine Jean-Pierre and Pili Tobar, both queer women of color. End of quote. Joe Biden considering Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo for HHS if he wins. She legalized abortions up to birth. Matter of fact, the media has just been fawning over potential cabinet picks as being superheroes versus what they called President Trump's picks as being ignoramuses. One other audio clip I'd like to play for you here, because Joe Biden as well has said that he is going to be forcing schools. I believe he said that he's going to be doing this on day one. But forcing public schools to let transgender women, that's biological males, but giving the personification or identifying as female, to play on girls' sports teams, to use their bathrooms, use their locker rooms. And Chuck Schumer was asked about his position on that.
Joe Biden said that on his first day of office, he will give transgender students access to sports, bathrooms, and locker rooms in accordance with their gender identity in all federally funded schools. Do you think he has the ability to do this, and do you agree with this decision?
I agree with the decision, and I know he'll check things out thoroughly legally.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Well, that's going to be all part of the Equality Act. If there is a changeover in the Senate, if there's a changeover in the White House as well. Senator Rand Paul said he believed Joe Biden's plan to force public schools to let transgender women, in quotes, biological males, play on girls' sports teams and use their bathrooms and locker rooms was, and I'm quoting him, one of the dumbest ideas to ever inhabit the brain of a politician. And then he said it will eventually backfire. Our phone lines are open here today on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. We've had a lot of topics this week here on the program. If you'd like to comment on, just make a brief comment on the issues here of the week, our number 800-733-9829. You remember that Christian funeral home that fired a man who wanted to dress like a woman at work? Well, the funeral home is now having to pay $130,000 to the man's estate. Under a settlement now reached in light of the June U.S. Supreme Court ruling that federal non-discrimination law on the basis of sex includes transgenders. Very interesting indeed. And then this, before I pick up the first call, the Trump-Pence, and this again from HRC, Human Rights Campaign, Trump-Pence administration again refuses to recognize LGBTQ people in the World's AIDS Day proclamation. President Alfonso David said, quote, LGBTQ people in the United States and around the world continue to be disproportionately affected by HIV and AIDS, especially Black and Latinx members of the community. To end the HIV epidemic, we must uplift the voices of those who have been affected and commit to end the stigma that still surrounds HIV. He talks about LGBTQ people disproportionately affected by HIV and AIDS. You know there's a way that you can stop that from taking place? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Let's go to Port Wing, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes. Attorney General Bill Barr this week said there wasn't enough fraud to change the outcome of the election. But any prosecutor, Jim, in a court of law would ask the next logical question, how much fraud is acceptable? If a man robbed a bank and only got $500, he would be still charged with robbing a bank. It isn't the amount, it's the act.
Yeah. Thank you for the comment. And President Trump said, too, he's not looking hard enough there. I mean, some of this testimony is just staggering. Again, I wish I had a couple of programs just to air the testimony coming up in these legislative hearings. It is staggering what people, I mean, they've signed affidavits, they're giving testimony based on you know, going to jail or being heavily fined if they're telling lies in that regard. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air. Oh, okay. Hello, Courtney.
Yes. You hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say...
Yeah, you got some problems with your phone there, Courtney. Oh, okay. We got some, but you're getting a lot of dialing there, Courtney.
I'll hang up and let somebody else get in.
Let's go to David, West Dallas. You're on the air.
It's interesting. Biden says, with the help of God, so I guess with the help of God, we're going to slaughter unborn children and promote sexual immorality. Really? With the help of God.
It violates his
sounds
word.
Sounds rather strange, don't you think, James?
Thank you for your comment, David. Rob in Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just had a comment of just about the COVID vaccination. I am an immunizing pharmacist. I've been one for 20 years, and I've given many vaccinations. And I have studied it and seen how pretty much vaccinations are safe and effective and have eradicated many diseases. And I would just hope that you guys would promote the fact that the COVID vaccination is safe and effective. And when you say, you know, these harmful side effects, you can get that with some vaccinations, but I would just hope that I'm wondering if you did do the research to find out what these were. Have you looked at the studies?
This is a medical doctor that's saying...
It's a medical doctor, yes, but she is saying that you can get the same thing from the Shingrix vaccination. It's a one-day thing that happens also, but it's 98% effective.
Thank you for the comment. I'm up against a break. We'll be back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. This past Friday night, I had the distinct high privilege and honor of interviewing an exclusive interview with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn since he was pardoned by President Trump. In his first interview with WVW Broadcast Network, we got to hear from him for 30 minutes. This was set up with my friend, Lieutenant General McInerney and Mary Fanning. They were also on the line. You can hear the entire interview that was given to us first at WVWTV.com. That's WVWTV.com, as in Worldview Weekend. WVWTV.com. Tweet it, Facebook it, email it, call your friends. Listen to the warning by this Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and Lieutenant General McInerney on how America is under a cyber attack and treason, and that this election has been stolen by Russia, China, and Iran, enemies foreign and domestic. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
We're back with Crosstalk here on VCY America, and I believe, Rob, do we still have you here?
Take a call, please.
Oh, no, okay. I guess we don't have Rob here any longer. But this is the American Medical Association. Dr. Sandra Fryhofer said, we really need to make patients aware that this is not going to be a walk in the park. And so that was a story that I read, that this is not going to, the first dose, no big deal. The second dose will definitely put you down for a day for sure. You will need to take a day off after a second dose, is one of the individuals who had taken this dose. But, you know, I'm just reading as it is that it's coming from the American Medical Association. I can't go much beyond that. I can also say that people do have concerns over some of the vaccinations that have used aborted cell lines of aborted babies in their development. And specifically, according to the Charlotte Lozier Institute that has done analysis of COVID-19 vaccine candidates, that the developmental product of the two closest ones for approval, both the Pfizer and the Moderna, did not use the aborted cell lines for the development and production of the vaccine. However, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson did. Also, some of the lab testing, though, is uncertain for those two leading vaccines at this time. And there's also some ethical issues that come along with those that do use aborted cell lines in it as well. Let's go to Linda next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. You were just answering my question about which companies use the aborted baby cells.
Yeah, again, this is according to Charlotte Lozier Institute, which has done the analysis of the vaccines and the two emergency use FDA applications that are pending, both the Pfizer and Moderna. They said do not use the aborted cell lines in the development and production of the vaccine. They may have used them in lab testing. That the jury is still out on that, they said, but not in the final development and production of the vaccine. However, there are two others that are in phase 3 trials right now that they report that they do.
And that's AstraZeneca, and what's the other one?
Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson & Johnson. Okay, that answers my question. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
And folks, to get the information, and it's more detail, but LozierInstitute.org, L-O-Z-I-E-R, LozierInstitute.org. I'm sure that Brad Mattis would have a link to this as well. I'm confident at lifeissues.org. And let's see. Anna is next in Watertown. You're on the air.
Hello. God blessings. Yes, Mercola.com is fantastic for finding out about the bogusity of the COVID, going on. And also, if you can go to the CDC, you can go to the HHS, and they will list all of the pharmaceutical companies, and amazingly, they are all looking for, of course, tax write-offs. At the very bottom, they say on the pharmaceutical list, the very bottom of the list is, and by the way, this, our vaccines and everything we're trying to do for COVID, you afford those grants from the government, our tax money.
Mm-hmm.
So I praise the Lord for this bogusness going on, because I've seen so many people sink low enough, praise the Lord, to
Thank you, Anna. We're going to have to, just for sake of time, have to move on here. David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. We've got the gospel for the L. I don't like to use the words that they, that those people involved in that's in the LGBT. So I say it's LJBTQ, Lord Jesus, be yet transformed, take me into the child of God. And then with the COVID issue, a godly man, from one of my churches in the Oise, and he's sharing the gospel with the Muslims on the south side here, showed one website, an Air Force website, ATI or something, that COVID stood for Certificate of Vaccination ID. Then with Rob Pugh and a few other people sharing, the Lord has directed me to warn. I've been doing this for a month. I even got a sign warning people not to take the vaccine because it will contain digital info to track us, and this is what the whole purpose of it is for. I looked in my immunology book. I looked up coronaviruses. I didn't see it in back. I looked up viruses, and there I found it in a four-doctor immunology book. And
it's I tell you what, because of shortness, again, on time, I'm not letting anybody go longer than a minute today because we've got many who would like to speak here, and you're getting kind of involved. I'm not telling people what to do in regard to a vaccination. I'm just informing you as what the American Medical Association is seeing at this time, as well as those who are examining, especially with the use of aborted cell lines. Kevin in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Jim, just a quick thing here. I'm reading an email, and I'll make it short, from a son of a U.S. Attorney General who was the brother of President Kennedy. Says, the vaccine developed and endorsed by Anthony Fauci and funded by Bill Gates uses experimental mRNA technology. Three of the human guinea pigs, 20% experienced a serious adverse event. This means clearly if a vaccination symptom develops after an mRNA vaccination, neither I nor any other therapist can help you because the damage caused by the vaccination will be genetically irreversible. Yeah. In my opinion, these vaccines represent a crime against humanity that has never been committed in such a big way in history.
Kevin, let me just say this, that we're not talking about a single. There are at least eight different companies, too, and I don't know which one you are talking about. Do you know which one, which company, which maker?
No, I don't. This
okay.
is just a notice that I got a friend from an email.
Okay. Got to be careful about that as well. So make sure that you've got the facts here. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. We know that the COVID books have been cooked anyway. Somebody dies from something and they happen to have COVID and they count it as a COVID death when it's not. Second, we also know, I've heard this on the radio, to talk about fast-tracking these vaccines to get them out. That means they're passing up a protocol to do it. That's not a good thing to do when you're going to stick that in somebody's bloodstream. And besides, if this vaccine were to work, and this applies to all vaccines, if it would work, then there's people that take it should not mind if I don't take it, because if it works, they'll be protected from me. Remember the lies about mercury in vaccines. They still put them there, and this should be voluntary only.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Folks, again, a lot on the vaccine information. Would certainly refer you for more information. Go to the National Vaccine Information Center, nvic.org. Our time is gone. Folks, stay in prayer for our nation. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.